I want to speak to you today on this topic. Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available. You know, you see these day laborers and they're standing out there waiting. They're available, waiting for the landowner, and the landowner is God, waiting for him to be able to hire them and send them into the vineyard. Now, the idea of day laborers was common at Jesus' time, and we've sort of rediscovered it in our culture as well. I know some people have mixed feelings about the whole thing, but you know, you go out there to Home Depot and there are many Latino men and they're standing and waiting to be hired. It's just like this gospel. And being a day laborer is a tough way to live because you don't know from day to day if you're going to have a paycheck. You don't know if you're going to have food. It's tough. Difficult and, if you will, trying existence, not knowing from day to day, going from day to day. Now, brothers and sisters, I hope, though, that to some extent you also appreciate that we are also the laborers. The Lord is speaking to us. And so I want to take this gospel and let's look at a few quick points about discipleship, but then I want to try to apply it to us as individuals and also as a congregation with something of a pastoral vision for the year ahead. Now, the first thing I just want you to notice in this gospel is that there's a kind of an availability that of discipleship. These men, in this case, are available not because they're well-fed, and they're available because they're needy, they're poor. And you know, there's something about our poverty, our incompleteness, our struggles that make us more available to God. I say that to some extent to our shame. It shouldn't be that way. You've heard of fair weather friends. Well, most of us are foul weather friends of God. Sometimes it takes difficulties and pain and emptiness for us to say, Lord, help. And the Lord says, I'm glad you finally asked. There's a kind of an availability. The song, Lord, I'm available to you, says, my storage is empty. I'm available. You can't fill a glass that's already filled with water. Only an empty glass can be filled by God. And so, you see, there is a place in our life for our struggles, for our sense of our poverty, our inadequacy. There's a place for all of this. And it helps to make us more available to God, more dependent. These men got up every morning and went out to that place early in the morning, not because they were otherwise employed, not because they were well fed and could sleep in. They got up because they were hungry and they needed work. And sometimes that's what makes us available to God, our neediness. Now, the next thing I want you to notice is the call that is discipleship. You see, one of the dangers for all of us is that we get ahead of God. You know, you get a biggie wow idea. You got a plan. Or some opportunity makes itself available, and instead of asking God, we just run after it. But you notice that these men could not go into the vineyard and expect to get a paycheck unless they were first called. They had to be called. They had to be, if you will, signed up by the landowner. There's an old psalm, Psalm 121, that says, unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor to build, build in vain. And we're going to use this idea of the call in a minute when I talk about the pastoral plan. But you see, too often we rush to do things, and what we need to do is spend a little time praying and asking the Lord, is this what you want? And not only that, but then how should I go about it? Being more prayerful, more discerning. Too often we rush into things. It doesn't go well. And then we say, God, why not? And God said, you never asked me. So there's an availability and there's a call to discipleship. And then there's a perseverance that has to come with discipleship. You notice they got paid at the end of the day. You had to work to evening. Church, I said you got to work till evening. An old spiritual says that some go to church for to sing and shout. Before 6 months, they's all turned out. We get into little routines that last just a few months, and we think we're going to pull off something big, and we got to persevere. We got to keep working. We got to stay the course. We got to keep working with the Lord, keep walking, keep talking, keep singing and shouting. We got to stay with the Lord in the long journey. A little bit here, a little bit there, that's not going to be enough. We've got to allow the Lord to take us on that long journey and help us to work till evening. Amen? And you see, the Lord says, the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. Persevering. These men had to work till evening. If they went off too early, no pay. And so it is, you see, we've got to learn to persevere. I'm going through these quickly because I just want to apply them later. Now, the next thing is that we've seen the availability of discipleship, the call of discipleship, the perseverance, and finally, I just want to say as an introductory note, the gift of discipleship. Did you notice something strange? And I'm going to ask you if it really is that strange. But the men who worked all day, as opposed to the men who worked only 1 hour, they all got paid the same. And then the men who worked all day grumbled and said, man, we had to bear the burden of the day. The heat of the day, we took the burden and we're getting paid the same. It ain't fair. Now, there's two problems with their complaint. Now, pay close attention to this first one. I want you to pay very, very close attention to this first one. Do not ever ask God to be fair. That is not a good plan. If you ask him to be fair, we're all going to hell. We have sinned and we have repeated our sins. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to ask him to be fair. I'm going to say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Grace and mercy are the only way we stand a chance. So first of all, be very careful. Be very, very careful before you ask God to be fair. And you know, if you see him having mercy on somebody who just got in the game late in the game, just say, thank you, Lord, because it shows that I might stand a chance too, you know? If you're showing mercy to somebody else, maybe you'll show it to me too. See? We just need to be glad of God's mercy because it's the only way we're going to make it. Now, the second thing, though, is that's wrong with their complaint is that they see discipleship as a burden. And, you know, I hear Christians talk like this sometimes. They may not quite put it this way, but they say, basically, sinners have all the fun. And we got to live these boring lives and pray and not drink a lot and, you know, all the stuff that sinners, quote, sinners have all the fun. Now, is that how you view discipleship? Let me first of all say, I love being a disciple, and the Lord's been good to me, and he's given me a joy, he's given me a zeal, he's given me a strength. Yes, there are some limits that I've got to observe, but church, more and more, I observe them joyfully. Helps me to sleep the sleep of the just. You know, sinners do not have all the fun, just buy a newspaper. And we look at things like disease, addiction, we look at dissipation of wealth. We look at broken hearts, broken families. Sin doesn't bring fun. It doesn't bring any fun at all. But you see, we entertain this notion. It comes from the devil. It's stinking thinking that says sinners have fun. So you see, I want you to just notice again just some of these key points. That there's an availability to discipleship, that sometimes it's in our brokenness, in our emptiness, that we're available. Don't always shun the difficulties of your life because sometimes they keep you rooted in God. You know, Mahalia Jackson used to sing a song and said, Lord, don't move my mountain. Give me the strength to climb it. And then she goes on to say, Lord, the way may not be easy, you never said it would be, but when our way gets a little too easy, we tend to stray from thee. We tend to stray. Sometimes it takes difficulties and emptiness to keep us available. Lord, my storage is empty. I'm available to you. The call of discipleship. Don't get out ahead of God. Pray and ask before you act. Persevere. Keep working till evening. You know, you got to stay all the way to death. The one who perseveres to the end is the one who's saved. And note the gift of discipleship. Grace and mercy. And the notion that sinners don't have all the fun, that discipleship is the gift. Sinfulness, that's just a terrible burden. Now, with that in mind, I want to take this gospel and some of these principles and apply it to us as individuals and to us as a parish. You see, you've got a vineyard, and there's a harvest. But you see, there's then a landowner, and there are workers. And I want to first of all look at us. In one sense, we've already entered the vineyard. Some of us have been in the vineyard since infancy. We were baptized. Now, a few of us, even though that happened, we kind of wandered out of the vineyard for a while. But thank the Lord, we're here, and most of you come every Sunday. And so in one sense, you're in the vineyard. But brothers and sisters, even once we're in the vineyard, there are just times where the Lord has to come up to us and say, why do you stand here idle? Go further into my vineyard. I have something more specific for you to do now. You see, we might put it in modern terms, not why do you stand here idle all day, but why do you sit on a pew all Sunday? And then we never see you again. Now, listen, we're going to have a ministry fair following this Mass. That means that representatives of all the main ministries and activities and groups in this parish are going to be out there to greet you and tell you a little bit about what they do and invite you to become part of what they do. Whether it's ministering here in the church in some way liturgically or out in the Sodality, the Holy Name, and the Knights of Columbus, or whether it's with the Washington Interfaith Network and getting out and walking and being part of the evangelization team, whether it's any number of different activities and the Ladies of Charity and so many things that are here. Please, brothers and sisters, consider the invitation from the Lord. Why do you stand here idle? Come into the vineyard. You see, I want to ask you, when you heard the call to come into the vineyard, how did you hear it? God spoke this to you. He said, you come into my vineyard. And praise God, we're here. But how did you hear it? How? And again, you heard it probably not out of the sky. If you did, praise God, that's a wonderful gift. But more than likely, you heard God speak that to you through some other human being. Maybe a mother, a father, a priest, a religious sister. Maybe it was a friend, an older brother, a sister. Whoever it was, God said, why stand here idle? Come deeper into the vineyard with me. And out there, there's going to be some folks saying, come deeper into the vineyard. Don't go on standing idle. Now, you've got to discern. You know, sometimes we go through different stages in life. Some of you are raising children, and you may not have as much time. Some of you are getting much older and maybe looking to hand over some of your church activities to younger folks to take your place. Amen. There's a few of us that are ready to do that. But some of you are also maybe at a time in your life where you need to reassess your call in the vineyard and say, what more does the Lord want me to do? Am I just to come and sit here at a pew? And maybe that's true because of your state in life. Maybe that's all you can do now. But I ask you to discern if the Lord is not saying to you through someone else, including me, why stand here idle? Come deeper into the vineyard. So that's the first thing I want to say about these readings. But I want you to be careful. You got to say, how available are you? Let the Lord give the call. You'll hear him call today, but discern, pray, ask the Lord. You know, it's just terrible when people sign up for stuff and then they never show up. You know, because you can kind of say, well, I better sign up for something, you know, and it's more out of guilt than out of a sense that the Lord has really made this call, come deeper into the vineyard. So even if you don't sign up for anything today, but listen, talk to folks out there. By the way, there's going to be a little food out there. Did I say there's going to be some food out there? Just in case we need an extra magnet. But listen, talk, discern, and think how joyful it can be to serve the Lord. Not a burden, but a great joy. Now, I want also, though, to ask every one of you to consider what I just said, that you heard the call to come into the vineyard and to do certain things in the vineyard, probably through somebody else. Now, I want to turn the tables on you, and I want to ask you something. Don't we also have to be the voice of the Lord for someone else? And that brings us to evangelization. And as we look at the year ahead, our focus is once again going to be evangelization, job one. The Lord said, go and make disciples of all the nations. You, not the person next to you, you go make disciples. And so we as a parish have heard this call from the Lord that our most important work is to bring people to Jesus Christ, to bring them to his word, bring them to his altar, his sacraments. Let him heal and work with them, but we have got to bring them in. And so I want to say three things about evangelization today. First of all, the first step in evangelization is for you to evangelize your own soul. And you know, we went door to door last October and November, and we did it again in the spring. And we visited 1,500 houses. And I told you that if we would be faithful to God, that this parish had a future. If we weren't going to be faithful to God, last one out, turn out the lights. But we were faithful to God, who said, go out, make disciples. And we went out and we knocked on doors of 1,500 homes. And we began to see our numbers come back up. We were down in the 460 to 480 range, and we came up to 500 to 525 on a Sunday. Someone say, praise the Lord. The Lord was bringing in fruits. But I want you to know something. Over the summer, we slipped. We're back into the 480s, 460s. Okay, church, the first thing I'm going to ask you is what I told you last year. I'm asking every one of you to, first of all, make the commitment to be here every Sunday. There may be emergencies that come up. There may be serious snowstorms. But you see, we've become a kind of commuter church. And most people that come here don't live right around the corner anymore. And it takes a bigger commitment, doesn't it? I don't need to tell you this, you know it does. It takes a deeper and a bigger commitment to get here on Sunday when you live out near Mitchellville and Bowie and Laurel. It's not as easy, I know that. I just walked down the steps and I'm here. But if this is your parish, and I pray it is, I'm asking you, commit. It is essential to be at your post every Sunday. When our numbers are down, we've got to have every man, every woman, every child at their post. Because even if just a few of us are missing, it's very noticeable. So the first thing I'm going to do in terms of evangelization is to ask you to be faithful to God's house every Sunday. There may be an occasional Sunday where you need to go to another parish, but I'm asking you, commit to try to be here every Sunday. Now, the next thing. We've been doing that door-to-door work, and I want to continue doing it, but on a more limited basis, and I'll explain why in a minute. But here it comes that we have in the bulletin the orange or the yellow sheet that you have, and there are two Saturdays in October that I'm going to ask at least 40 of us to walk door to door. Go out in the park and meet some of our neighbors. Church, even though we have a lot of commuter aspects of our church now, we have to continue to remember that we are responsible to call every man, woman, and child in this parish boundary that is ours to come to Jesus Christ if they don't already have a church home and they're not living their faith. We have that obligation, and I'm going to ask if you will agree to either walk with me, do door to door. Some of you who can't walk can stay here and pray while we walk. And some of you can help prepare a meal. Because, brothers and sisters, we still need to continue this work. I'm only asking this October for two Saturdays, and there they are, the 15th and the 29th. If you can fill that form out either today or in the next couple weeks and let us know so that we can, if you will, be prepared. But we want to go out again, door to door. We've got to continue meeting our neighbors. The Lord sent them out two by two to evangelize, to preach the gospel, to draw souls to Him. And we have to obey that. I'm asking you to help me again. Now, I want also, we've also talked a lot about reaching back into our families. And last year, the main focus was the neighborhood walk. And we did some work with our families. But this year, I want to really take a look at that second piece. Reaching back into our families, back among our friends. Now listen, only 27% of Catholics go to Mass on Sunday. A terrible and shocking figure. Listen, we've got to change that. I bet every one of you knows at least 5 or 10 people in your family who ought to be coming to church but aren't. Now here's, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to think I'm crazy. But I'm going to ask it. I wonder if it is unrealistic for me to think that we can double the size of our Sunday attendance in 1 year. Double it. 500 to 1,000. When I left here in 1999, there were almost 900 people that came to Mass here every Sunday. Now we're down around 500. A loss of almost 40%. It wasn't that long ago that almost 1,000 people came here every Sunday. I wonder if we can't double that number in 1 year. You say you're crazy. You may call me crazy, but at least call me crazy for Christ. Add that in. You may call me a fool, but at least call me a fool for Christ. Add that last part. And I'm going to ask you to get foolish and crazy with me. And I'm going to ask if it isn't possible for us, with God's help, to double the size of the people who come here on Sunday. And you say, how is that possible? Here's how it's possible. I'm going to ask you another question. Is it unreasonable for me to ask every one of you who come here on Sunday to take up a prayer cause and consider that you could bring one shepherd, one soul back to Christ in the period of the next year? Now, I'm going to show you there's actually a plan here I've got in mind, but how unrealistic is it to think that every one of us here could go to one member of our family or among our friends or someone we know and love and work with them over an entire year, getting to know them, love them, listen to them, pray with them and for them, even consider fasting for them. And then at the end of that year, begin to make the invitation to come to God's house. Is it unrealistic to think that you in the next year could bring one soul back to God's house on a consistent basis? Father's getting kind of personal now. This ain't no work of a committee. He's talking about me. That's right, I'm talking about you. Now let me sort of unfold the plan for you, because I'm not asking you to do all this in the next 2 weeks. Remember, we want to work on this over a year. Now the first thing I want to ask all of you to do is between now and the Feast of Christ the King, which takes place at the end of November, almost 2 months. I'm asking only this: you will go to God and pray, Lord, my pastor's gotten crazy and foolish, and he's asking me to shepherd some soul back to church. Lord, who would it be, Lord? Now, It might be a spouse or a son or a daughter. But that might not be the person the Lord shows you. All I'm asking is that you pray. Lord, a crazy, foolish pastor has put a thought in my mind that I should shepherd one soul back to Christ. And he told me that's not unreasonable, that I should make a disciple this year. Lord, who? Maybe it will be your spouse or a child or brother or sister. Maybe it's someone at work, someone that you know, and you know they don't go to church, and maybe they used to be Catholic, or they are, but they don't go to church, or they used to go to church, but they've just become unchurched. They need to be reconnected to God and to his house. Who, Lord, who? 2 months, keep praying, keep asking. The first name that comes to mind might not be the name you end up with. And then on the Feast of Christ the King, I'm going to ask you, every single one of you, to commit to write down the name of that person on a card. And those cards won't be made public, and you don't even have to put your name on that card. But we're going to gather those cards, and we're going to keep them up here near the altar, and we're going to start praying. And we're going to start having holy hours. And we're going to start having some of the organizations agree to fast on a certain day. And we're going to consider fasting ourselves. And we're going to keep praying. And then from the time of Christ the King up until Christmas, I'm going to ask you to do something a little unusual as a gift for Jesus. And that is simply to take some time in that month of Advent and write a thank you note to Jesus Christ. To meditate, Lord, why am I grateful to come here? Lord, this is a beautiful parish and I love it, but why? Lord, I love your word, but why? How have the sacraments and God's word and the preaching and the magnificent choir and musicians and all of the magnificent fellowship and leadership here, how have these things blessed you? And how has your own personal prayer life and your relationship with the Lord been a blessing to you? You see, in writing this Thanksgiving, and I'll give you some guidance about how to compose that letter, some guiding questions. But just getting your own testimony together. You know, at some level, we've got to be able to say, well, how come I should go to church? I don't know. I like it. We've got to be able to be a little more articulate than that. Wouldn't you agree? Well, why do you like it? I don't know. I just like it. Well, we got to do more than that, don't we? And so get your testimony together. I love the Lord. Let me tell you the dozen things he's done for me in my life. Oh, I love the Lord. I'm not a burdened disciple. I'm a joyful disciple. I love being in the vineyard. Oh, how he's blessed me. And church, this is a wonderful parish. And every Sunday, the liturgies here are outstanding. You know, I could see some people saying, I don't know if I'd like to bring someone to my parish, you know, or Father's up there, I don't know what he's talking about half the time, and then poor Mrs. So-and-so plays the organ like she's wearing mittens, listen, we've got a magnificent liturgical celebration here every Sunday. You ought to be proud to bring anybody into this church with you on Sunday. God's been good to us. And the preaching's okay. But listen, it's a magnificent gift that we have, and we should be eager and excited to bring people. But the first step I'm going to ask you to do is pray, Lord, who? Give that name to the Lord and say, Lord, I commit to pray right now, and I commit to get my own testimony together. And then after Christmas and into January, I want to do some seminars and workshops in the parish and in the groups. We'll work all this out, where we look at what it means to really walk with a soul. To, you know, at the heart of it, you know what it is? It's listening to them. You know what a gift it is to give somebody just to listen. I've noticed you don't go to church. Can you tell me why? And you're not going to even try that day to bring them back to church. All you want to know is, why don't you? And you may hear stories. Well, I just drifted. Or you may hear that they were hurt. Maybe by a priest, or maybe they were hurt by a member of a congregation, or a minister in the Protestant denomination, or some leader, or it may have just been the gossip. It may have been any number of things that hurt them or turned them off. Don't judge, just listen and learn where their pain is, where their grief and their sorrows. Learn and listen and love. What a gift. And keep walking, just taking that conversation, not in a manipulative kind of a way, but just learn and love and listen. And then as we get into the springtime and past Easter, we'll begin to talk about ways, and we're going to provide opportunities during that time to invite them to church in less threatening ways, like maybe some movie nights and concerts and some other activities that go on here that aren't of a specifically religious nature, so they can kind of get to know the community and realize that we're not all monsters. Okay, I've gone on too long. I need to wrap it up, but you see where I'm coming. And then as we begin to get back toward the Feast of Christ the King again, we're going to begin to make those invitations and have special liturgies of calling people to God's house. We're going to work at this 1 year, brothers and sisters, and all I'm asking now is for you to pray. Please pray. So many souls have drifted. 27% are only going to Mass anymore, and the numbers aren't much better among the Protestants. There's a lot of unchurched people. Pray, pray, pray. Ask the Lord, who? I want to double the number by the Feast of Christ the King next year. From 500 to 1,000. Call me a fool, but make sure you add that I am a fool for Christ. And would you please become foolish and crazy with me? That's what I'm asking. That's the year ahead. Evangelize, evangelize, evangelize. There's a vineyard. There's work to do. The Lord needs to use your voice to say to someone, why do you stand here idle? Come into my vineyard. Come in and rejoice with me. I just finished with the words of an old song. Beautiful old song. You gave me my hands to reach out to man, to show him your love and your perfect plan. You gave me my ears. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners, but can I wipe away their tears? You gave me my voice to speak your word, to sing all your praises to those who've never heard. With my eye, I can see a need for more availability. I've seen the hearts that have been broken, so many people to be set free. Lord, I'm available to you. I'll do what you say to do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you. Amen.